to Psalm chapter 100. Praise God. Before I read, I'll make a statement or two. Inasmuch as Thursday is Thanksgiving, this Sunday today is recognized as Thanksgiving Sunday. And you might have noticed the title on the bulletin that you have that says, "Give thanks with a grateful heart." And the choir sings from time to time, "I want to thank Him." And this morning, I want our attention, our thoughts, be directed to that very thing, giving thanks to God. If there's one thing as Christians that possibly we are behind in doing, it is giving thanks to God and worshiping Him. All of us have so much to be thankful, for which to be thankful. And I want you to listen before I come to the 100th Psalm. Listen to what David said in the 69th Psalm. "I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hoofs." What he's saying, the sacrifices that I offer unto God with my hands, they are necessary, they are important. But if I were to give thanksgiving to God with a song and praise out of the depths of my heart, that's better. Anyone can give money. Anyone can give some time. Anyone can give a helping hand. And we all need to do just that very thing. But to give praise to God out of a heart that's filled with the Lord in our souls, brother, that's in the sight of God, that's wonderful. Amen, amen. In the 95th Psalm, the writer said, "Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms." I want you to notice that joy and thanksgiving go together. A thankful heart is a joyful heart. A joyful heart is a heart of thanksgiving. They can't be separated. If the joy of the Lord is in your heart, you have thanks to God. Nehemiah said, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." And the Bible declares it to be so. A joyful Christian is a strong Christian. Something was raised in the Sunday school hour about how Satan comes against us to persecute us and the various things that he does to try to pull us down. The person that has the joy bells of heaven ringing in their hearts, the person that has a thanksgiving soul, I want you to know the devil has a hard time pulling him down. Amen. If the devil has come around about you lately and trying to tear you down, it might be because God has been so good to you and lifted you up. Amen. And you're serving the Lord and loving the Lord, and Satan is out to destroy. But keep this in mind. Whatever he does, greater is he that's within you than he's within the world. If God be for us, who can be against us? Then I want to come to the 100th Psalm, a familiar psalm. I've mentioned this before, but let me share it again. If you are a parent and have children at home, feed them well with the Word of God. You might put good food on the table and that's nursing and healthy and the rest, but if they are denied the Word of God, you are failing your children. Feed the Word of God. I mentioned this more than once, but when I was a boy in church on 25th Street in the Pentecostal Holiness Church, at that time my daddy happened to be the Sunday school superintendent. And he had a competition. Anyone, everyone in the church was invited to participate. And there were five things that we were to memorize. And on a certain Sunday, we were to be called to the front of the church and memorize it word by word out of the Bible. We had to memorize the Ten Commandments out of the 20th chapter of Exodus. We had to memorize the Beatitudes that we had in Sunday school lesson this morning. We had to memorize the 23rd Psalm and the 100th Psalm. And there's something else that I can't remember now. Five things we had to memorize. It was getting near the end of the week that we were to come to front of the church. My daddy called me aside and said, "Son, have you been studying, memorizing?" And I hadn't. He said, "Are you going to let your younger brother get in front of the church and memorize all five of those, and you not even try?" My daddy was a major in psychology. Never graduated from high school. I thought, "I'm not going to let Royce do it. I'm not going to sit back there and let my younger brother get up in front and memorize all of that and quote all of that, and me sit back there." And so I got in the Bible. And Sunday morning, I was one of the people on the platform. And not only my brother, but some others, and Sister Emma Robertson was one. Had memorized those five things, and we received a reward, a certificate, with five stars on it. You know, that's not much of a reward for spending all that time. Yes, sir, it was. You get the Word of God in a young person's heart, brother, that's tremendous. So I memorized this. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing." I'm going to stop right there as I begin. This is the picture of a believer whose sins have been covered by the blood, washed away. His heart has been made pure. He's been adopted into the family of God. He's got a new life in Christ. Hallelujah. He's been filled with joy in his heart. He's serving with gladness. It's not a chore. He's saved by the Almighty God. And the Bible says he's got a song of praise in his heart. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lads." We've got something to sing about. We've always loved singing. My family, when I was growing up in my family, as we were raising our boys, singing in the choir, singing music, singing quartets and what have you. We've always been families that love singing. And I have been some places, and I have two people in mind, not in this church, surely not in this church, two people in mind that loved to sing and could not carry a tune in a bucket. One was a woman, pastor in Arizona. I believe she loved God as much as anyone, and she loved to sing, and if she's ever hit the right note, I don't know it. Then we had a young man in Arizona, called to preach. Good boy, good man. He couldn't sing, but listen to this. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, "Sing on key. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." If your heart is filled with joy, it's going to come out all right. Whatever comes from your lips is going to be all right in the eyes of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Have a song of praise. In the third verse, I'm going to read it. He says, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." Hallelujah. The writer's giving us some reasons as why we ought to rejoice, why we ought to sing praises unto our God. And the first thing that he says, because He is God. Let me stop right there today. He is God, and that's enough for us for the rest of the day to give Him praise and glory and thanksgiving. He's God. And the Bible says there is none other. There's only one God. Hallelujah. Paul, when he's writing to Timothy, says there's only one God, the God, and there's only one man, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And Moses said there's one God. And the Lord said there's one God. David said there's one God. There's one God. I'm glad I know Him. Amen. Because He is God. Because He is who He says He is. Have you ever met anyone that said they were something that they were not? I mentioned about our neighbor the other day. Can't remember if it was in Bible study or in Sunday school class. He was called into the military during the Second World War. He went into the Navy. He went to Great Lakes and he went to boot camp. And he was gone a while and came back home and came over to see us and had his uniform on, looked very nice, and he had some bunch of ribbons. And he had more war stories than you can imagine. And when it was all said and done, we found out he had never left the United States. We were in Japan or somewhere, maybe England one time in the service, and had a young boy in the military. I doubt if he was over 18 years of age. And he had put two marks, two of those yellow dilly bobs on his sleeve that represented that he had been overseas, serving in overseas 6 months each. He hadn't even been in service that long. He was called before the first sergeant. What did he got? They look nice on my uniform. I tell you what I do. I worship Him because of who He is. I found Him to be everything that I need. What a God. What a blessed Redeemer. He goes on to tell us, not only because of who He is, He says, because He made us, in that third verse. Because He made us. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. I'm glad today that I can tell you that I believe the Bible. I believe it from Genesis 1 to the very last verse of the 22nd chapter of Revelation. I believe what God has said in His Word. I believe that it's in the infallible Word of God. He said, Brother Jones, there's different translations. I know. I know there's some mistakes, but everything God says, I believe it. God made us. I want you to know this. That throws out that idea that I somehow evolved from some kind of primate over the centuries. I didn't evolve from some primate. I was handmade by God. Handmade by God. Let me read a scripture if I can find it quickly. I think I marked it somewhere and then I might have taken it out. I took it out, but I found it. I will praise Him, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. I am wonderfully and marvelously made. Thank God, thank God. We've got some people that are sharp in their minds with technology and computerized things and E-pods and iPods and C-pods and the rest. I don't know anything about any of that. I don't. We had a board meeting yesterday, and Tom and Mike was talking about some things, and Eddie did something like this. I thought I could do it this way. It was over my head, brother. I mean, they lost us out. I imagine Raleigh was right along with us, too. They were talking about something that's going up. We're fixing in the church and the rest. What did he say, preacher? I'm glad that God, I'm God made. I'm the handiwork of God. And the same thing that I enjoy today is this. Not only did He make me, but He remade me. He made me the second time. I've been born again. Hallelujah. I'm like the one down in the potter's house. God said to Jeremiah, go down to the potter's house. And he was making potter on the wheel. There was something that was wrong. And he said, he took it off and he made it again. I'm glad that although I was in sin, after God had made me, I was in sin, but God made me again. He saved me. And I was born again. Thank God. I'm a new man in Christ Jesus. Because He's God, because He made me, and the third thing He says, because we are His people. Let me come back to that second part. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and not anything that was made. Let me come back again. All things was made by Him, and without Him was not anything made. All things were made by Him. We're serving a God that rules the universe. Somebody said, well, how about Satan? Satan can't do one lick unless God allows it. God has the hand. The right hand of God represents the power of God. You read the right hand of God through the Bible, you'll find that He has all power. He's omnipotent, having all power. He's omniscient. He has all wisdom. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's God. And David said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Why? Because He's God. Because He made us. And then he says, because we are His children. Now I want to make something plain. Everybody in the world is not a child of God. God made man. But to be a child of God, we must be born again. We are His children. Now, I even mentioned in the class this morning about some things about my home that I was raised in. I realized some people think it was strict, but I didn't know it was strict. We just went to church and read the Bible and prayed. Gathered around the kitchen table and prayed, and Daddy would pray and call our names before the Lord. And I thought, He's God. He made us. We're His children. I am proud to stand before you this morning as the second son of Herbert and Roselle Jones. There were three after me, three more boys. I am proud to tell you that I was raised by a man and his wife, Herbert and Roselle Jones, that were holiness when I was born and holiness when they died. And all of my life, all I know from my mom and my dad were people that loved God and served God and made their way to the house of God. When I mentioned something in the Sunday school class, one reason why my dad felt so important to go to the house of God, he was one of the deacons that felt responsible to be sure that the furnace was going, the air conditioner was going. You know what means? That means raise the windows and just get the fans out so that everybody can have one. My dad had thought that his responsibility as a deacon in the church was to see to it that things were taken care of. And so we went to the house of God. And this is what I'll close with, this part right here. Because of who He is, because He made us, because I'm one of His. I am proud to stand before you today to say, He's my Heavenly Father. And Jesus Christ is my elder brother. And I'm a joint heir with the Lord Jesus. I'm in a good family. I came from the Jones family. I'm a part of the Abundant Life Tabernacle family. But I'm a family of the whole God church around the world. I'm glad to be a part of the family of God. Amen. He's God. He made us. We're His children, the Bible says. We're His people. He paid a debt He did not owe. I owe the debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song. Amazing grace. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could not pay. I could never pay. When we repented of our sins and accepted Christ as our Savior, and He adopted us into that family of His, that we should show forth His praises and His and songs in our hearts and thanksgiving in our souls. When all of that took place, we are now the sons of God, the daughters of God, the Most High. Let me read one other verse before I go on. Peter said, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. If that could ever sink through to the depths of our soul, you are somebody in the Lord. Chosen by God. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. A peculiar people. That doesn't mean an oddball. That means not like the world. If that means that we are odd, so be it. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are a chosen people. How many times have I used an illustration about sports? Because we loved it. Five boys in the family. We loved to play ball and all the rest. But when it was time to choose, there were times when there were older boys there and I was one of the younger, and I was sort of on the tail end of being chosen. Another time I might be one of the oldest, and so I was one of the first to be chosen. Maybe I might be doing the choosing. But I want you to know this. It doesn't make any difference your age or your height or your abilities. God's chosen you. He loves you. If you've been saved today, you're a chosen people. Man, that's enough to shout about. That's enough to rejoice about. Somebody put you down sometime, let them know who you are. I've been adopted into the family of God. It's already in the records. My name's been written down. I'm a child of the Almighty. Well, thank God. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Then I'm going to read verses 4 and 5. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and His truth endureth to all generations. He gives three more reasons why we ought to be thankful, not only on Thanksgiving Sunday, but because we're saved every day of our lives. Why we ought to give praise. First of all, He said, because the Lord is good. How many times have I said it in the bulletin and in my preaching and in my teaching? We are serving a good God. Hallelujah. I want to say it one more time today. Our God is a good God. Amen. Brother Tom testified about the accident that he was involved in just this week. But on the scene was a good God. Hallelujah. 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 Except for Brother Jones, he maybe have just sent the angels to look over Brother Tom. If he did, he's a good God. He's been good to us. He's been good to this church. Hallelujah. He said, praise Him because He's a good God. And He said, His mercy is everlasting. I like that. It will never be depleted. He has shown me mercy over and over again. And if there's need for mercy today, I can go back to Him and He says, I still have mercy for you, Glenn. Brother, that's something to rejoice. You've read the 136th Psalm. 26 verses. Every verse, 26, every verse ends with a mercy. His mercy endureth forever. For His mercy endureth forever. Read the next part. His mercy endureth forever. He's trying to get something across to you and me. My mercy never runs out. I'll be there. How many times I've looked back when I was unsaved, a backslider, away from God, living in sin. Some things that I didn't realize it at all then, and look back now. So many times I could have lost my life. So many times what happened could have taken me out of this world. And when I look back from this side and look back, I can see the mercies of God there and there and there and there and there, over and over again. He's a merciful God. If He's been merciful to you right now, before I go on, Father, if you just slip your hand up to God in thanksgiving to Him. He's been merciful to us. He's been merciful to us. Hallelujah. What a merciful God we're serving. Hallelujah. When we needed Him, He was there. Amen. When we called out to Him, He was there. When we were down in the depths, He was there to lift us up. What a merciful God. What a merciful God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And His mercy. And His mercy, and His mercy endureth forever. That means He'll be there this afternoon. He'll be there tonight. He'll be there tomorrow morning. He'll be there tomorrow evening. The mercies of the Lord will be there. Praise God, praise God. His mercy is everlasting. The Bible says, let me read one verse of a hymn of the church. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God spanned at Calvary. Mercy. There was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. When I read that and put it in my notes, went over it in my mind, mercy, mercy, mercy. His mercy is everlasting. Thirdly, the Bible says His truth endureth through all generations. I read an article recently that says many of the new translations of the Bible have changed the meaning of some words and changed the meaning of some phrases, and even some sentences have been left out or revived. I want to make a statement this morning. A man can rewrite the Bible and cause it to fit his own fads and fancies and his own theory and doctrine and belief. He can change it any way that he wants to. Man has discredited the Bible, disgraced the Bible. He's done so many things against the Bible, but I want everyone to know, whatever man wants to do with this Bible, it will never change it. I've read in this book that says these words, "My word cannot be broken." So, Brother Jones, people break the law of God and they sin and they go against God. You might do it, but You'll never break this. You can go against all that God has to say. It'll never change this. When everything else is gone, crumbled and gone by the wayside. When this building in years to come, whatever, however long it lasts. And when this building crumbles, this will not hold up forever. When this building crumbles and everything else is gone, and this whole world is passed from view, as we know it now, I want everyone to know this is going to still be there. The Word of God will stand the test of the ages. I'm going through a Bible study of my own right now through the New Testament. I'm taking it one verse at a time, searching out some things and taking notes. In fact, I was reading some when I got here early this morning after praying and going through some things for today's sermon. I read some chapters in the New Testament for a study for my own benefit. But I want everyone to understand what I say now and don't ever forget it. You can depend on the Word of God. Whatever God says, you can take it to the bank. He never fails. This is the best book that's ever been written. When J.H. King, and I've mentioned this before, J.H. King was the bishop of the Pentecostal Holiness Church for 20-some years. 29 years. Theologian. Wise man. When he came down to die, this was his testimony. All of these books. My library. All of these that I've enjoyed. He said, when you come down to the end of the journey, you become a man of one book. Nothing else really matters now. This is it. I love to read. I read a book from the Holocaust just last week, written by a man that got the Pulitzer Prize. They're still alive. He came through the concentration camps in Germany and Poland. And I thought, that'll pass away. This will never pass away. Whatever you do, church, stay in the Word. Praise Him because He's God. Praise Him because you're His child. Then go on, because His mercy is everlasting and His truth endureth to all generations. I notice the time. I'm going to hurry right now. I've mentioned everything. All I've mentioned is from Psalms as far as the Scripture today. I want to just mention some things from Paul's writing in the New Testament before I close out this morning. I want to mention three verses. First of all, I want to mention Romans 1:8, and then I have three verses that I want to mention after that. Romans 1:8, rather than speaking to just one person or two persons in the church or the leaders, Paul said, I thank God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Your testimony, your faith in serving God is not only in Rome, but it's your testimony is heard everywhere. They're civilized mankind. They know that you're not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have a testimony that your life has changed and you're serving God. Paul said that in the first chapter of the book of Romans. I thank God through Jesus Christ. And somebody said that Paul must have been a southerner. Because he said, I thank God for you all. That's not important. There's three scriptures. I want you to jot them down. I never know. I never know when I come in that door what the service will bring forth. Last week, Crawford had to leave the service because of difficulty breathing and took him to the hospital. When service was over, Margaret fell and broke her wrist. Had to take it to the hospital. Ended up in the same hospital. We never know. I was just talking to Margaret in the foyer. She was talking about what God has in store out yonder for us. Still in this life. Still alive. And we mentioned that we don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know. But one thing I do know, He's in charge. Three verses. I'd like you to jot them down. I'd like you to get them in your heart and in your mind. I'll not take time to go over much of it, but Paul has said to the Corinthians and to the Romans and to the Philippians and to Timothy and to others about Worshiping God and serving God and obeying God are the three verses that I want to bring to our attention that have proven a real blessing over the years. Romans 8:28. And we know, we that are born again, we that are saved by the blood of the Lamb, we that have been redeemed by the Almighty God, we that are new creatures in Christ Jesus, we that are saved by the blood and walking in the light, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those that are called according, them that are called according to His purpose. We know that as a Christian, all things that come our way in our lives, God's working something out. That is not easy to understand, but it's God's Word. And I'll give you a testimony. These three verses that I'm going to give you, if you can believe them and obey them and live by them, you can live in peace all the time. Amen. And we know, Christians, and we know that all things work together for good, to the good to them that love God, to those that are called according to His purpose. Somebody told me not long ago, Brother Jones, I don't believe that includes all things. I believe all things means all things. And we know. Get that in your soul. Believe that. Hold on to it. You can have victory, whatever the circumstances or the situation. Second verse I'd like to leave with you is 1 Thessalonians 5:13. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. I want to clarify something. Paul is saying, it's always the will of God that we have a thankful heart and that we give thanks to God whatever we're going through. Whatever comes your way, give thanks to God that He's there. That He's holding your hand. That He's going with you. And if you can't walk any further, He'll pick you up. Underneath of the everlasting arms. Brother, that's a good verse. And the last one that I'm leaving with you today is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. In Romans 8, he says all things. In 1 Thessalonians 5, he said everything. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, he says always. This is the will of God for every one of His children. And I'm going to close, and my wife has come to the piano. We're going to sing. Come on, honey. As God's children, we are to give Him thanks and praise and worship and song in our hearts. Since we are saved, the joy of the Lord might fill our hearts at all times in every situation. That is God's will. We might always be thankful for His goodness and mercy, whatever we're going through, and we might always live in victory. I'm going to bring us all together and we're going to pray. It's Thanksgiving Sunday. Some of you have gone through some difficulties in life and some of you are going through some things even now that are not easy. Tom testified a while ago how that he had an accident that really, we might as well face it, such as that could take you right out of this world. Plenty of people have been in accidents a whole lot less than that. And we're banged up a whole lot worse. What are you saying, preacher? If I can somehow get it across, whatever comes your way, you can thank God because He's living right there. You're not thanking God for the hardships, but you're thanking God. When I'm in a hardship, I'm glad I can depend on You. I'm glad You're with me. When troublesome times come, thank God that He's not going to let you down. He'll be there. Give praise and glory. We are always triumphant, the Bible says, in the Lord Jesus Christ. That leaves nothing about being defeated, about someone getting the best of us along this line. That we're always triumphant in Christ Jesus. What does it mean, preacher? Whatever happens,
Thank Him for loving you, being there, walking with you, going with you, taking care of you, meeting every need, whatever the problem, whatever the difficulty, whatever the situation, troubles in homes, troubles in marriages, troubles in school, troubles on the job. But you love God. If you love God, I want you to know something. You can still give Him thanks and praise and worship because He's God. And He loves you. He's going to see you through to the other side. Will you stand with me? Praise God. Praise God.